Hello and welcome to The Biscuit, the enforcer of all hockey podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by 22J Off Ice Clothing. 22J Clothing is a new clothing range that plans to bring a bit of style and practicality to off-ice clothing. The idea has been dreamed up by a 13-year-old ice hockey youth team player from Whitley Bay. His ambition to one day play in the NHL, he has decided to leave his home in the northeast of England and attend the Okanagan Hockey School in Swindon. To help fund his attendance, rather than ask for handouts, he has produced his own clothing range with all the profits from the venture going towards his schooling fees. This kid, I admire that. You know, he's 13, he's going to a school to further his hockey career instead of just asking people for money, like on a GoFundMe or whatever it may be. He's creating something and asking for money and then putting it back and investing in himself. So I just ask you guys, go follow the kid, send him some courage, share his page, maybe buy some clothing stuff off of him. Give him a follow on Twitter at 22JOff or on Instagram, 22J_off_ice_clothing and Facebook at 22J Off Ice Clothing. Go help that young man. Support how you can. I would appreciate it. This episode is also brought to you by Hairless Ape Conspiracies, a veteran-owned, veteran-operated company who is there to stomp your inner bitch. So head over to hairlessapeinc.com and check out some of their gear, everywhere from shorts to hoodies to shirts. Use the promo code BISCUIT10 at checkout and save yourself 10% off. That's hairlessapeinc.com. I'm also a proud ambassador of War Road brand, a top-notch, high-quality hockey brand apparel clothing company. Go check out their stuff at warroad.com. They're running a sale through this weekend. They just dropped a new line of golf gear. And all their stuff is the finest of quality. You cannot beat War Road. And we are brought to you by ParkersPlatoon.org, the nonprofit organization started by Scott Parker and his family, designated to help one veteran at a time, specifically wounded combat veterans. Every dollar counts. Head over to ParkersPlatoon.org, see how you can help today, donate, see maybe in your community how you can help. Great thing Stanley Cup champion Scott Parker has going there with his charity. And as always, we are brought to you by HockeyFights.com. That's HockeyFights.com, where you go to watch hockey fights. All right. Enjoy this episode with Adam and Riley Scorgi.
Now Probert got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt!
It's old time hockey.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's The Biscuit. It's The Biscuit.
Damn it! The school regulation size of what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some atmosphere.
It's The Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you want to go?
Yeah, okay.
Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
All right, Biscuit listeners, today we got a couple special guests. This might be the first time here that I've had two people on. It'd be Adam Scorgi's third time on. Somehow I've conned him into coming on multiple times. You know him from his Joe Rogan experiences and his incredible, incredible movies. I just got to watch Making Coco the other day. Another 10 out of 10, man. And an even more special guest than Adam Scorgi, Riley Scorgi's on. You guys probably know her from her very popular Instagram and being ESPN Player of the Week at one point. Riley, how's it going? And Adam?
Good.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having us on. I really appreciate you conning me in for the third time, but also having my better sibling on. The more exciting one these days.
Well, I'm surprised you got a smile on today after watching that Oilers game last night.
Are you wearing a Chicago jersey there? I was trying to tell. Oh,
no, I got the CBJ on today. I wouldn't do that to you, man.
Yeah, no, it was a little depressing. We were all excited to, you know, to have hockey back here in Edmonton. And it's nice. Riley's been getting back on the ice now for training, so we're hoping her season moves forward, too. She's been busting her butt. She's hoping for a big season next year. But Oilers need to bounce back next game. If they don't win next game, it's trouble. So they, you know, they at least, you know, I think going into the series, you know, I'm a filmmaker. I'm not a pro analyst. But, you know, they bounce back and they hit a couple posts. They could have been close to tying that 6-6. It looks like they just started a little slow. And, you know, you've got veterans like Taze and stuff that, man, just when you think that guy's a step behind, he gets 5 points and shows that he's not. So,
yeah, and then
you better be ready for Monday.
And then when you're worrying about him and then a dude like Kubalik comes out of nowhere and gets 5 points or whatever he had last night, you're like, oh, that's the least of what we wanted there.
Yeah, it just, yeah, I couldn't say it just, you know, it's, you're dealing with NHL snipers and it was, you know, they were a little slow out of the gates and they got punished for it. So Monday, hopefully they,
get back going. Now, Riley, are you an Oilers fan as well? Are you, have that unfortunate blood in you?
Oh yeah, I'm an Oilers fan.
Well, it's like two different Oilers fans though, because, you know, when you were young, it was guys like Grant Fuhr in the net and, you know, Gretzky, the great one, and all those cups and just winning, winning, winning. And now it's like first round picks and then, you know, nothing. So,
hey, we went past the first round a couple of years ago.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Now, where's Riley's name come from? Is she named after Riley Cote by chance?
No, actually, it was funny. Her mom and I, we looked at a lot of names. And I can't remember if you have kids or not, but when you're naming your kids, if you know four, so if you have people that you know that you're like, you know, we had other girls' names and stuff we came up with, but you'd be like, no, can't name her that.
Yeah.
Especially coming from where we used to own a strip club, so you know, you dance, but it was crazy to have that name. So it was the first name that when Lauren suggested it, my wife, we were both like, yeah, we really like that name.
Now, Riley, you're getting ready to go play for the Elite Vipers, right? U15? So you're 13, right?
Yeah.
Now, have you been out on the ice with girls that much older than you, or are you looking forward to the challenge?
Yeah, I've been on the ice with, like, the St. Albert Slash girls, AAA.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all lot older than me.
Now, is it hard fitting in like there? Because I know the gap from 13 to 15 can be pretty immense. Were you nervous at all getting out there, or you just kind of lean back on that talent that you have and get in the mix?
It was nervous a bit at first, but I realized it was like a really like welcoming environment, and it was like just like anybody else on that I play with. Like, it was super fun. And
well, it's just hockey at the end of the day, right? Yeah. Now, what's the first year where it stops being co-ed and it's just girls and then boys? When does that happen? When's that split? Have you been playing just girls for a few years now?
Yeah, it kind of happens at the bantam level.
We were
just talking to some of the parents here. It's a real interesting that, you know, girls should, I recommend they should kind of play boys as long as they can until you hit bantam, right? And then that's when the hitting comes in. And look, I'm all for equal opportunity. Obviously, my daughter playing competitive hockey, but there's genetic things that you just can't ignore, right? Once the boys start hitting the testosterone, they're just way too strong.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter how talented the girl is. Like, then you're just risking injury when you don't need it, right? The girls play a very physical game. So Riley, you know, playing bantam elite last year, it's a physical game, and I think they should just put modified hitting into the girls' game so that they would prepare themselves better, because a lot of the concussions are caused because the girls are never ready to take a hit because there's technically no hitting.
Right.
But from game to game, like even when parents, like my dad will come, and he's like, oh, so there's no hitting in this, and after 30 seconds, he was like, that looks like a lot of hitting. I'm like, it's very physical. Like, they rub off in the boards, and there's just no open ice hits, which is almost gone even in the NHL nowadays too, right? Like,
yeah.
Open ice hits kind of – so – that's really where it changes. So Riley, when she was younger, she played an all-girls team, but they would play boys.
Okay.
But then when you hit the elite levels, that's when the hitting, because even in boys now, it doesn't come until bantam, right? And even I think in bantam, they've made it, if you're not playing AAA, AA, or Tier 1, if you're playing Tier 2 or Tier 3, they no longer have the hitting in there.
Yeah. So Well, it's
so
like
that's really where that jump happens.
Because I've had a few, you know, the professional women on the show, and they talk that there's no hitting, but I watch the games. There's hitting, and then they talk about too that a lot of them said that they wish they would have learned a slap shot earlier on in their career, that no one ever taught them that, and then they got to a professional level, and it you have to bring it into your game when you're 20 years old. So is that something that you're aware of now and watching NHL and just trying to prepare yourself to not just be, you know, like you said, just be the best hockey player that you can be, I guess. So working on your shot and everything, just not even be like, oh, I'm a girl, I'm going to shoot it like this. I'm going to learn all the shots. I'm going to become the best player I could be. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's fun watching you progress too. I mean, I remember having Adam on, 3 years ago when you were scoring 50 goals in 19 games or whatever it was, and now you got this popular Instagram and you're training on there. It's cool to watch your progression. Is that something important to you to catalog all that and, you know, make a presence for yourself? I know a lot of you younger kids are a lot more savvy than, you know, guys our age where it's – you can get a jump on it and you have a following like that and you can become a personality in hockey. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to get myself out there so that in the future I can try and get, like, college scholarships and stuff or offers just because, like, I really want to play college and then maybe go and play for, like, Team Canada one day.
Oh, you
will.
And
I feel like putting myself out there would really help with that.
No, it's brilliant. It was something that when I was in high school, it started, like, we watched VHS film, like, of other schools. You know what I mean? So it was starting.
Do you know what a VHS is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think you would, so I'm surprised there. But it was starting to change where you could get a DVD, but you'd get a DVD like, holy crap, we can just skip to the next game. But yeah. Guys that were good at computers at that time were starting to make their own highlight films and send them out to colleges because you can't always count on your athletic director or your coach to be behind you. You just can't. It's just not how it works. So that's how I got a lot of my looks at, you know, Big Ten schools and things like that was, hey, here it is. I'm 6'4", 6'5", 220 pounds. I've got good grades, and here's my highlight reel. And then they got to hold me back. I mean, that's really smart. And I was doing it at 18, so you're already got the jump. And that drive, too, it makes me feel lazy when I get on that Instagram and see, I'm like, oh, man, she probably did 200 shots a day, and I'm just getting out of bed. Like,
hey, it gets me. It got me inspired to go back to the gym.
Oh, yeah?
There's no excuse. If my daughter's training all the time, I'm like, hey, Adam, like, you just hit 40 this year. There's no excuse not to train 5 days a week just to keep yourself healthy. You know, this it's funny. When you're younger, you do it to aesthetically look good,
uh-huh.
Right? But when you're older, you're like, I'm doing it just to be healthy. And then, you know, with everything going on with the pandemic right now, one of the big things that's disappointing with all the doctors that they're not really bringing up, and it's listening to people on Joe Rogan and podcasts like
Vitamin
yourself,
D.
where a lot of doctors are like, hey, one of the best things you can do is boost your immune system, exercise more, eat fast food less, cut sugar out of your diet, cut alcohol out of your diet. And whatever virus or flu, influenza, or whatever comes your way, if your body's running optimally, it will help prevent not only, you know, COVID-19, but just other sicknesses from coming in. So I've been like, okay, both my wife and I have been like, there's no excuse. Like, let's get to work. Let's go for a run. Let's go for a walk. Let's get some exercise. So Riley's not only inspired a lot of girls her age, but she's inspired us just to be like, okay, we can do better. If she can do all that, we could be doing better.
Well, and I would assume some of that work ethic comes from you too, because you're a prolific filmmaker producing films, you know, for decades now that, you know, you're constantly working, constantly putting out new things. Riley, do you look up to your dad in that sense and see that he's constantly pushing the envelope and kind of take that into and adapt it to your own life?
Oh, yeah.
That's gotta feel good to hear as a dad, right?
It does. It's you know, almost brings tears to my eyes there. It's a, you know, as a parent, we're only, as you know, having four kids yourself, you're only learning. You find out once you become a parent, you're like, oh, my parents didn't have anything figured it out. They were figuring it out as they were going.
Yep.
'Cause I am, right?
Yep.
You know, and the sports thing is such a fascinating thing. And I, you know, for families that don't have kids in sport, I can't recommend it enough. Just where I see with Riley, not only just the career drive, when people are like, how did she get so into it? I'm like, that's on her, right? Like, I, you know, parents can only, you can only help get them to the door. They have to open it and walk through if they want to do it. But the friendship she's made, you know, stuff like that, staying in shape. And that's the thing I always remember, like, when I'm so impressed. Like, there was a couple of days ago where it was another 7 a.m. workout that we had to get up for 8 o'clock. And I gave her three outs because I was tired and I wanted to go to bed. I was like, sure. I'm like, you had three ice sessions yesterday and you did this. Like, if you want to stay home, I'll let you have this one, right? And she was like, nope, I'm going to get up. And I was like, damn, good for you.
Well, that's what it's going to take, right?
I would have taken that cop, but I was like, kid, cash me out. But
it is interesting, though. I mean, you're dead on, like, not only, like, being around the friends and learning to a goal and trying to accomplish it, but even, like, learning to lose. Like, I always hated, like, you know, my youngest daughter, her soccer, they don't keep score. And I'm like, it's okay if the kid lost. You know, they can – it's almost better to learn it early and be like, okay, we lost. The world's not over. Let's get it next game. Let's accomplish this. I'm like, I don't think it's helping anybody by not keeping score. And, like, the kids are keeping score on the field, let's be honest. You know what I mean? They're not
– I couldn't agree more. I've seen every time Riley misses one of her goals, right, and I make her write down her yearly goals just because then you can hold yourself accountable, right? And we have this big, which is like, Dad, I don't want to write it down. I'm like, write it down in your journal. You don't even have to share it with me, but then you can look back at the end of the year and see what you hit and see what you didn't. And there's tons of articles. You know, I'm a researcher as a producer. I like, not achieving your goals is not a bad thing, because I know I see when Riley, when she misses one of her goals, then she works 10 times harder to be like, okay, I didn't get leading score last year, whatever I wanted, or I didn't hit this goal. Well, now I'm going to bust my ass to get there. Failure is not a bad thing. It teaches you a lot of overcoming objection.
Yeah, I keep one right here, man. Every day I ride in it. It doesn't even have to be a lot. It could be, hey, make sure I take the trash out on time, like, or do four podcasts, or do some, you know, it's got to be, there's got to be tiers to it as well. But I just started doing that this year, like, okay, because then you'll hold yourself accountable, I guess. Like, oh, at the end of the week, I look back and go, man, I try to set three goals every day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the week, I go, ooh, I miss two every day. That's not good. So I try to get on that. But that's really cool that you can, you know, get that drive from your dad. And, you know, it's fun. Well, I guess it's got to be hard now. And, you know, you're getting back on the ice. But with everything that's happened with the pandemic, it was cool to see you keep pushing, you know, get on the rollerblades and get out there, you know, when your brother's not ruining your shots and still train. Is it exciting to be able to get back on the ice with your teammates now and just kind of get some normalcy back as a teenage girl? It's got to be important to get some kind of normality in this weird time that it may be.
Yeah, it feels really good to be back on the ice and, like, see my friends again. I really missed it, so it's like, even just being outside of my rollerblades really helps me, like...
Are there a lot of kids in the neighborhood you can go school and, you know, get some goals still?
Not really.
Not really? That's probably lucky for them.
Than the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's cool. And it's got to be fun, too, and with sports as well. Like, being good at something is important for a kid. That's going to give you confidence for life and, you know, like you said, getting that goal for college, you know, getting on Team Canada, which I know we have a lot of pride with our national sports here in the States, but putting on that flag or, you know, getting the leaf on your chest in Canada, they say, like, even, like, track and field is huge up there when it comes to national sports. Like, I'm rooting for you. I think that's a really good goal to have. I think that'd be really cool. Just don't beat up on my girls down here too bad, you know, when you get to that point.
Hey, never mind. The American teams, man, they are so good now. Like, to me, they're the way scarier than the Russian teams.
Yep. And
actually doing a little research, because Riley is way ahead of this than I ever was at 13. At 13, I was trying to beat, like, Street Fighter 2. That was my goal. But we've already looked, like, Riley already knows a lot of the, like, where almost all the girls go in Canada, when they want to train from their second degree, post-secondary, they are always going to the NCAA schools. That's okay. All of the Team Canada girls. They're all training in the Northeast. It's Duluth, it's Wisconsin, it's Penn State, it's Clarkson. That's where you look at all the Team Canada teams, and I've been discovering there's a lot more, because you have, like, the under 18, you have, like, the other, like, you have that they go into international, and then they all try out to see who's the top 20 to play on the Olympic team, right?
Right.
So if you look at all of them are coming from the American programs. They all go.
Well, it's a good place to go, right? I mean, one, you can go to school for free, you know, if you have the right amount of talent, which is massive, which I know, I don't. Is there a junior program for girls in Canada like there is for the boys?
They're just starting. See, it's a big thing because the league kind of went in. So they've got now the National Women's Hockey League, whatever, that they're starting. But it's really just starting to grow.
Right.
And this is something that, you know, a young girl, because even I brought up with Riley, like when we were driving to and from practice, she's like, "Dad, like the girls make nothing and the boys make all this money." And I was like, "But Riley, you have to get the fans there.
Gotta get the butts in the seats.
Girls' games, have you gone to see it?" She was like, "None." I'm like, "Well, we can start small by doing that."
Yep.
When a game comes, we can go support it and start getting in there. But the game is growing faster. And you saw with the women coming to the All-Star games and stuff like that. Like, it's going to take time.
That's huge. Getting the girls out there and competing. It is going to take time, but it is going the right direction for sure.
It definitely is. I mean, the women's hockey seems to be one of the fastest growing sports in North America. The Americans are getting big on it, you know, internationally. And in Canada, definitely you're seeing, I mean, even the team Riley plays for, the Panda Elite, they've only been around for 5 years, that league, right? They're just starting to get. And it's tough because it's tough for the girls where, you know, boys, there's so many teams. If you don't make one, but the girls really, if you don't make Elite, then they really only have the rec leagues, right?
Yeah.
So then it makes it tough where a lot of girls then go try to play in a competitive boys league where there's no hitting, but at least the speed and the skill is there. So, but I don't, you know, a lot of parents beat up on these leagues, say, "Well, this league sucks," and that, and like, man, they just don't have the players yet. Like, it's coming, they're growing, right? But for the longest time, it was like they weren't allowed. It was girls play ringette and boys play hockey. But now that's, you know, dwindling. And you have even, you know, like, Wickenheiser is considered the greatest female, and she's kind of like the Gretzky of the sport right now, especially for the Canadians. But she talked about, like, she had to cut her hair and disguise herself as a boy just so she could play.
That's crazy.
Like, because they would not allow, when she went, they were not allowed. Like, she tried to come out to tryouts, like, no, women are not allowed to do this. You get off, ringettes for you. We don't have hockey. So thankfully, I remind Riley of that all the time. I'm like, "Hey, you at least have now where there is leagues and stuff." Like, when Haley had to do it, they literally were like, which isn't that long ago. We're not talking the 50s and 60s, right? We're talking the 70s and 80s. They're like, "No, there's no place for you. You go play ringette."
And I noticed a difference, too, is like some of the – say, like, I'm 33. Some of the women my age, when you ask them their favorite player, it still might have been Gretzky or, you know, Messier. But, I mean, Riley, your favorite player might even be a female now. But, like, my four-year-old daughter, it's like Hillary Knight. So that's going to change the culture completely, too, right? It's not going to be – "Oh, Jonathan Toews is my favorite player." It's going to be these girls that are playing now winning gold medals. The leagues are starting to come around. I know both of them kind of fizzled in the States and Canada now, but they're working on something. There's going to be a professional women's league coming
soon. Yeah, and see, the little bit I've learned about that, of course, I don't know everything because I dove into it, but it's the two leagues are competing right now. And just like the NHL had with the AHA back in the America, like they need to just, there's not enough. So they need to just work together and have one league and work together to promote the sport. And as it grows, continually grow and get the NHL behind it. The NHL is now behind it. Just like WNBA, you have to get, you know, and it's funny when you talk in the business world, because people will be like, "Well, what does the NHL have to support it?" Like, look, whether you're a female or a male and you're coming to either hockey, you're coming to hockey. So that overall grows the sport. So that's what smart business is when you're like, "Well, I don't, is whether you want, whether it's men or women coming to watch the game and whatever game form you choose, whether you choose the women's game or the men's game, if you're coming to watch hockey, that's a good thing."
Right.
So the NHL recognizes that, and that's why they brought the girls into the All-Star game, and they're getting behind the league because they're like, "Look, we don't care what race, what sex you are. If you're coming to the great game of hockey, we are growing the game."
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. So it's nice to see, and it's heading in the right direction. I keep telling Riley, if you keep working hard, by the time you're 19, 20, you know, the league is there. Who knows? By then, and you build your social media and stuff where that's a business in itself, right? Where then you start getting, there could be a lucrative where you could get to play hockey by the time you're 20 for a career for a couple of years and actually make a living at it, right? So...
Right. Riley, could you imagine that, being a professional paid hockey, like that was your job? Like, I go play hockey. Wouldn't that be sweet?
That would be so cool.
Oh, man. That's like, I'd like to do the same thing myself. That'd be pretty awesome. Now, I know you're better than your dad at hockey, right? Obviously, for sure. But how long ago did you pass him? You know, were you 4 years old getting better than him? You know, when were you like, "Oh, you know, I'm better than my dad. I can go out and beat him."
Well, my dad could never really skate. But, like, I first started to kind of notice it when I was, like, second year peewee, I think.
Yep.
Either first year, second year peewee. We were at, like, a outdoor rink type thing, and I was just, like...
Just blowing by him, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, Adam, the same question to you. What was it like when you saw her at a very young age and went, oh, she's got – because you've seen talent. You've been around talented players. You've, you know, done these movies with hockey players. And at some point you had to be like, oh, she's not just a normal hockey player. She's got that X factor, I guess we would say.
I realized that, you know, it was the year that she got sick, right, with the autoimmune disease, and she got all that. And that was – really just a, you know, the disease itself was a weird autoimmune thing, but it was weird to see how I forgot. Like, I shared the story when she got back. She was so, you gotta love youth and positivity, because when we went in, they said, look, you might not be able to walk properly, let alone skate, for anywhere from 3 months to 2 years, right? And of course, the parents to me, I was 2 years, like, but she would be like, yeah, they said 3 months. That'll be just after tryouts. I can get into hockey. Like, so I know, you know, when you read about medical stuff, a lot of it is the mental strength, right? So I never wanted to discourage her, but Lauren and I, man, they also said 2 years. Like, you're saying, you're hearing the 3 months. And the way she bounced back, and I think it was, honestly, looking back now, her greatest gift, because a lot of kids in any sport, they don't, a lot of times once they hit their first adversity, when they get cut from their first team ever, or they don't make the AAA team, they quit. Mm-hmm. instead of looking at it like, okay, I missed my target, I'm going to go back to the drawing board, I'm going to work my ass, and next year I'm going to make you regret that you said no, right? So Riley going to where she couldn't even walk up the stairs, right? Damn. To being able to play hockey again, and then loving it and really found the passion, that was for me when I was like, wow. I was like, because I know when I was 13, honestly, like, I it seems different now because I'm aggressive in my film career, but back then I was a whiner. I looked for any excuse to quit when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Like, I was not, it wasn't until I boxed later on in my team. Like, I didn't have what she had. And I was just like, wow. Cause that, I know, like, talent, there's tons of talented girls. And every time you go to a tournament, you think you've seen about, you see somebody even better and you're like, holy cow. But the work ethic and the love that Riley has is where I really realized that I was like, wow, you know what? She might actually have a career in this if she keeps working. Cause you know, you hear that cliche saying, though, that hard work beats talent.
It's true.
You run into talent that works harder.
It's true.
That's what everyone's always like, Adam, how do you get Riley to do all this stuff? I'm like, I don't get her to do any of this stuff. Like, I just started documenting it because she's like, Dad, watch me do this. Watch me go out in the garage. Watch me go do this. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay, I'll start. And then talking to scouts and advisors, they're all like, oh, yeah, we use video for everything now. If you just send us videos. And I was kind of like, well, that's what I do for a living. So yes. I was like, that's the one way I can help as a parent. I'm like, okay. I'm like, Riley might not be the best player that comes out of her age group, but her videos will sure make sure she looks that way, right? We will get her the attention she needs to at least get her to the door. She has to earn it on the ice, but I'm constantly reminded every week when I see how hard she works, and then she'll go film a video. She'll be like, Dad, I want you to come film this, or make sure you get video. I'm like, okay, wow, I have to now help put in the effort with her, right? Like, I have to help her get, I can, again, as I said, I can only get her to the door. She has to go earn all that herself.
Right.
She's putting in the work to get the best opportunity there, and it's sure fun to watch.
Dude, last weekend, like, the rinks around here started to open, and my four-year-old goes, Dad, will you take me skating? I about cried, man. I was like, absolutely. I said, let's go. I said, let's get on it. I said, whenever – and I said to myself last year, because I get worn down, man. I got four kids. I got the podcast, all this stuff. But I told myself, if any of the kids asked to go throw the baseball or go shoot the pucks, or I get up off my ass and go and have a smile on my face, because that's going to build into them. And then it's not going to seem like work. You know, it's hockey. You're having fun. Of course, you know.
And that is, I can tell you, my favorite memories right now that I love. One of the parts that I think gets missed with all sports is driving to and from the arenas, or to and from when I take my voice to the kid. Like, I get time to talk to my daughter. Even when I tell other people my conversations, people are like, you have that in-depth conversations with Riley about, like, boys and life and everything. I'm like, it's my favorite part. Mm-hmm. That's a part where people are really missing with organized sports. That, like, that is your – instead of being like, oh, my God, the drives, I look forward to the drive. That's my time with all the arenas all over, that I just turn off my phone. I don't get distracted or at the arena unless I'm filming, because she's like, Dad, make sure you get video. But enjoy those moments with your kids, because as we're getting older, you're still – you know, almost a decade younger than me, but man, your time gets precious and it ticks by. Like, you know, 30 to 40, it seemed like it went 2 years. So I'm enjoying every moment with my boys, and my boys keep bugging me this week, like, Dad, when are we going to Totem to get our stuff? When are we going to go get our hockey gear? When are you signing me up? I'm like, dude, I will get it done. So it is, I can't stated enough for those parents at sometimes, because you hear some people saying, well, the money could be better spent somewhere else. I totally disagree.
No,
it's like, I think if you're getting that quality time with your kids, I wouldn't spend it on anything else.
Priceless.
That's what I want to spend my money on.
Yeah. That's why I make money. You know, that's the purpose now. My dreams are dead, man. I'm not going to play. It's to get them kids.
But yeah, same with me. I don't need to buy a fancy car. I don't need flashy clothes. I don't need any of that stuff anymore. I need to spend quality time with my family. And if that's, you know, on sports trips and everything else, then we make the best of it. And I love every minute of it.
Absolutely. Now, you spoke about your GBS. Is that something that still you have to deal with now, or are you pretty much recovered from that, Riley? Is that something that's still going on?
No, I'm actually like 100% all good now.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I'm happy to hear that. And it was cool that you talked about having, is it Guillain-Barré syndrome, right? Because I've never even heard of it. So I think you brought some awareness even as a little kid. That's really cool that you could help in that way too. It just goes along with your story. It's really fascinating. It's cool to keep in touch with it and follow it. We're big fans over here at The Biscuit. Now, okay, I know you guys got to go. So we're going to do, in honor of the sniper, we've got the sniper. We're going to do a sniper round. It's just eight quick questions. Just off the top of your heads, give them to me. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Favorite sport besides hockey?
Definitely not soccer.
I like it.
MMA.
MMA. Ooh, buddy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Favorite hockey player ever?
Connor McDavid and Blair Turnbull.
There we go.
For me, I have too many because I like all the tough guys, right? So I have love for, so I just say the Enforcers are my favorite players.
They're everyone in Ice Guardians.
Yeah.
Favorite podcast?
Well, it's got to be, it's no offense, bro. The Biscuit is great, but Joe Rogan is.
you can't beat Rogies, dude. Podcast. You can't beat Rogies. I know it. We all know it.
He started it. He's the one that made podcasts mainstream, and he's the one that changed the way that people consume information. So for me, it has to be Rogan.
So he gets -10 points for that one. Riley, what's your favorite podcast?
I like The Biscuit. Yeah! Woo,
woo! You're smarter than your dad, too, huh?
Definitely. Better looking, too. Thank God.
Favorite food?
Oh.
It's your go-to meal. Maybe you get one last meal. You're in prison. They're going to put you in the electric chair.
Faux.
Okay.
For me, I got to go classic, like steak and crab.
Can't beat it.
Last meal. I'm dying.
Yeah. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. Favorite music artist?
I don't really have one, to be honest. I just listen to everybody.
That's fine. I'm the same way.
Yeah, I'm going. I don't know. This might be a little before you, brother, but like Tupac, it's hard for. That's just my guy. I grew up in high school. I listen to music differently ever since he came around. So for me, it's definitely too. Oh,
Tom Petty.
Ooh, Tom Petty. There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty good there. I thought you were going to say rat. Okay, now this is one my daughter doesn't like that I do, but I don't wear socks under my skates. Do you do socks?
Yes.
Scorgie, do you even wear skates anymore? You ever get out there?
I only go out in like charity functions on skates. There's a story like the year Riley really figured out you're on the ice one day, and she goes, "Okay, Dad." It's like you're saying. She's like, "If you this right when she's getting back from Guillain-Barré," and she's like, "Dad, if you can't catch me in 10 laps, then you have to give me $100. And I was like, kiddo, if I can't catch you in the first two, I sure as hell ain't going to catch up.
Here's 100 bones. Get out of my face.
I tried. I thought just, you know, size and strength, even though I'm a horrible skater, I thought I'd be able to, and it was no clue. Like, she'd skate backwards.
Okay, so we just talked about Rogan. You know, he's been going off on this forever. Are aliens real? Do you believe?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, I don't believe in aliens. I do believe in UFOs. I think that the military might have some stuff we haven't seen. But
we just said we have them.
Don't get me wrong, I'm like Rogan. I love the idea of it. I really, like, and I love alien movies, but I haven't seen anything that suggests that they're here.
It's got to be see it with your own eyes, right?
Yeah, I have to see. If I see an alien, like if the UFO comes right above our street and the alien jumps out, And like I see them, then I'm like, wow, okay, they're real. But every video I look at, I haven't seen anything that definitively says, yes, they're real.
Right, for sure. Okay, last one. And before we answer this last one, if you guys just want to give out your social medias, I know, Riley, that's important for you and Scorgi too. And maybe if you have some films coming up or what you get, where you want guys to filter to, let them know now. Sure. And I'll ask you the last question.
Okay, my Instagram is Riley underscore Scorgi.
Mine is mainly Adam Score, like G, where I put instead of the IE, I put a score like a goal with a G, because that's how it's pronounced. Follow Riley more than you follow me. I follow my films, like Inmate Number One, The Rise of Danny Trejo, is out right now. It's on iTunes and all the VOD platforms.
Perfect.
Then we got the Bisping doc coming out here soon.
I can't wait for that one, dude. Speaking of a good podcast, his is great. I love that, dude.
Dude, Bisping is one of the – honestly, we built a really great relationship because he's like the same age as me. He has three kids. Him and his wife have been together since they were young. Me and my wife have been like – he's been one of the funnest guys to work with. Like, no, like Brad Fuhr was great too, but he's been older, right? So I consider him a good friend and we have really great connection. But Bisping and I are like the same age. When we hang out, we get giddy. Like our wives make fun. They're like, oh – you guys like have to go hang out, hey, and have beers. We're like, no, we're working.
He seems like one of the dudes too.
No, dude, he's the real life Rocky. When you see what he had to overcome, he really is. If there's a real life Rocky story, it's him. Other than he's British.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And here it is, final question: who wins the 2020 Stanley Cup?
Or bias, it's Oilers.
Hey, that's perfect. Guys, I appreciate your time so much. Riley, thank you so much for coming on. Nice meeting you. Adam, always a pleasure to have you on. Again, Making Coco was amazing. I know it's on Prime Video right now if you guys want to go watch it. Obviously, go buy Inmate One. Support Adam Scorgi. Support Riley in her ventures in hockey future. And guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.